Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you as we continue our series, These Things Last Forever. We're looking at faith, hope, and love. Can I invite you maybe to take out the leaflet from your bulletin, if you'd like to, because we have, a very important reading there that introduces for us the theme of hope. Some of my favorite words from 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 to 5, and I'd like to read them to you. We started last week with faith. We're looking today at hope, and then Johan closes off the series next week as he looks at love. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for us, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Some time ago, as a family, we were sitting around the table and we were talking about our favorite movies. When it comes to Debbie, who is the woman that I'm married to, favorite movies are very easy to guess. Anything with Bruce Willis, Nicolas Cage, or George Clooney. Anything she'll like. I think my favorite movie, this dates me, I know, a little bit, but I think my favorite movie of all time is The Shawshank Redemption. I don't know if you've seen it. Those of you who haven't seen it, it's about a guy, a banker, who gets imprisoned for a crime that he didn't commit. And there is one scene in that movie that when I saw it, it scorched its way into my memory forever. And in the scene, the banker is with a guy who's given up hope, who's in prison. And he speaks to him these words, and I've never forgotten them. And the words go like this. He says to the guy, in this world, you're either busy dying or you're busy living. The difference is hope. Can I say them again? In this world, you're either busy living or you're busy dying. The difference is hope. The difference is hope. I don't know if you'd agree with me, friends, but we live in a day and age when it's very easy to run out of hope. It can happen on a national level. Sometimes when I go overseas, people will say to me, Trevor, what's it like living in South Africa? And I often say this, you know, on Monday, you hope. On Tuesday, you despair. On Wednesday, you hope. On Thursday, you despair. It's like this all the time. It's like this all the time. I think of Barbara Creasy's words. I think it was at the end of last year. She was speaking just about education in this country. And she makes the startling observation that 50% of our children, when they come to high school, are still illiterate. 50% of our children, when they reach high school, are still illiterate. Now, when you think about the consequences just of that statistic, it's easy to run out of hope. It's easy to run out of hope in our personal lives, in our marriages. Sitting with a couple just the other day, and they were just saying, you know, the guy said to me, "Sure, I just sometimes feel we're just so stuck. We're so stuck. I sometimes just feel so hopeless about our marriage." It can happen at work, just to run out of hope. Sometimes we see no future for ourselves in our job. So we put a bumper sticker on our car which says, "I owe, I owe, I owe, it's off to work, I go." Sometimes we run out of hope with our own lives, our own behavior. Sometimes we get so discouraged by our own lives. Some of us battle with depression, despair. It's easy to run out of hope. So can I ask you, friends, this morning, what is your hope barometer look like? Between 1 and 10, if 1 is hopeless and 10 is hopeful, where would you put yourself on that line today? It's against this backdrop, friends, that I want to extend an invitation, and it's an invitation to keep hope alive. To keep hope alive. When Christ entered this world, He brought to us the gift of a hope that this world had never known before. Through His life, through His teachings, through His death, and especially through His resurrection, Jesus Christ breathed a hope into this universe that this world had never known before. And this is why Peter, when he writes that letter, writes those incredible words, and maybe they can come up on the screen again. I've committed them to memory, and I hope that you will commit them to memory as well. Praise be. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never spoil, never fade, never perish. Those are powerful words. Those are powerful words. I've put them into my memory. I don't ever want to forget those words. And I hope that you will commit them to your memory. And the people who followed Jesus Christ in the New Testament were people whose lives reflected an incredible hope. An incredible hope. So when Paul writes to the Corinthians, what does he say? And I'll ask these words to go up. He says in Corinthians, there are three things that last forever. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. And it's hope that joins faith and love together. When Paul writes to the Romans, and these words will go up in Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Incredible words. Be joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope. Joy and hope go together. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. And when the writer to the Hebrews writes his letter to the Hebrews, he gives us one of the most beautiful metaphors for hope. He calls hope an anchor for the soul. An anchor for the soul. Can I ask you, friends, this morning, what is your hope barometer like? Where are you on that line this morning? If 1 is hopeless and 10 is hopeful, where would you put yourself this morning? So what I'm going to do, and I've got a few more minutes, as we explore this theme of hope, I want to wrap my message around three things about hope that I want us to hold on to. And they all start with the letter P, so you can put them on the fridge. First of all, there is the power of hope. The power of hope. Hope is for the human spirit what oxygen is for the body. Hope is for the human spirit what oxygen is for the body. It's our most precious energy resource. My mom often used to say to me as I grew up, Trevor, you know, where there's life, there's hope. I would change that around today. I think my mom got it a bit wrong. Where there's hope, there's life. Where there's hope, there's life. Huh? Hope empowers us. It empowers us. Has it ever struck you that the people who've made a creative difference upon the history of this world, upon the history of this country, have always been people of hope? Always. They have been people who have imagined a different future. They have been people who have had the faith that a new future is possible. And they are people who've had the hope to really work for that new future. I put together a little equation. It's homemade. And I'm going to put it up onto the screen now. Hope is vision plus faith plus action. Huh? Hope, you have a new vision. You believe it's possible. And then you put all your energy into making that hope come true in your life. That's what great leaders always have. I think of Nelson Mandela. Huh? A man of incredible hope. I was reading his autobiography some years ago, Long Walk to Freedom. His autobiography is a long walk, let me tell you. But there's a lovely moment when his daughter brings his first granddaughter to him in prison. And he names his granddaughter and he calls her Zaziwe, which means hope. And he says these words in his autobiography. He says, that name had specific meaning for me. For all my years in prison, hope never left me. Now I knew it never would. It never would. Hope. A hopeful man. The power of hope. It's hope that gets a depressed person up in the morning. It's hope that gets a couple that are battling in their marriage to go for some counseling. It's hope that gets someone who's battling with alcohol to go to AA. It's hope that gets a young person beginning a course in study because they want to be something. It's hope that gets a person beginning a new business. It's hope. The power of hope. The energy of hope. Where there's hope, there's life. Where's your hope barometer this morning? Huh? Where's your hopeless, 1, hopeful, 10? Where would you put yourself? Where would you put yourself? So there's the power of hope. But here's my second P. There is the pain of hope. The pain of hope. And everyone in this auditorium here knows the pain of hope. When you hope for something that doesn't happen. When my human hopes crash on the rocks of reality, it is an incredible pain. Incredible pain. And some of you know that pain. And I know that pain. I think of a couple, true story, who hoped so much for a child. So much. And they were told that she would never fall pregnant, but they just hoped, they prayed, they saw, and she fell pregnant. And a few weeks into the pregnancy, the gynae called the husband aside and said, "There are real problems in this pregnancy." And he spoke about what those problems were. And he suggested a termination of the pregnancy. And this couple got together, and they decided to hope, to go ahead with the pregnancy. And a few months later, the baby was born, and the baby was fine. And they toasted to hope. And a few days later, the baby died, and hopes crashed on the rocks of reality. And some of us here, sitting here today, know that pain. Know the pain of hopes crashing. And in that moment, we have got one of two choices. We either become a victim of hopelessness, or we let our broken human hopes push us down deeper into a divine hope, God's hope. And so this is my third P. We've got the power of hope. We've got the pain of hope. But we've got the promise of hope. And this is when we let God into our hoping. The promise of hope. In the Bible, there are two great promises. Great promises. Wonderful promises. The one promise is this. That in the end, God wins. In the end. Let me tell you this morning, friends. I've looked at the last book of the Bible. God wins. In the end. God wins. In the end, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. To put it in theological terms, what God did in Jesus Christ in the resurrection, God is going to do in this whole universe. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That this life is not all there is. That there is a new heaven and a new earth. And that's a promise of a hope that gives me energy when my hopes crash. But there's another promise. It's an incredible promise. That when our broken hopes crash, God is with us. Emmanuel, 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 Christ is with us. In those moments when human hopes crash, in the darkness, I think of Jesus on the cross. Do you remember when he cries out? It's on the cross and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But God had not forsaken him. God was present in the darkness, preparing a resurrection. Preparing a resurrection. And in our darknesses and in those moments when our hopes crash, God is with us in the darkness, at work, preparing little resurrections, little Easters, little new beginnings. The promise of hope. Let me pull this together. Where are you this morning on this line between hopeless and hopeful? Can I invite you in Christ's name to keep hope alive. To keep hope alive. To know the power of that hope. And in those moments when hope crashes, to know the promise of hope. That there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And that in the present, God is with us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Let's pray together. Oh God, we speak about deep things this morning. And we ask you, Lord, to come to those of us today who find themselves caught up in a spiral of hopelessness. And perhaps who've given up on life, on the future. And we ask, Christ, that you will come to us in your risen presence today. That you will breathe your hope into our lives. That we will know again the energy of hope, even though we have known its pain. Come to us, Lord Jesus. Come to us. Come and live in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory. Come, Lord. Breathe hope into our lives and give us the deep resolution today to keep hope alive. This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, before you go, those of you today, maybe, whom God has touched, maybe, after the service, as people go, you may just want to come forward to do something physical, to light a candle that expresses a new desire to keep hope alive and to let Christ be the basis of that hope. So the band will be playing. And as people go to their cars or go have coffee, you may just come after the service and just light a candle. And you'll be doing something, but you'll be making a choice, making a decision today. And it could be the new beginning of new beginnings. May the joy, the wild, wild joy of Jesus Christ be with you, friends. Take care. God bless you. Amen.